Paul Meacham, Jr.
In Psalms 119 and verse 103, the psalmist says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." A person can develop a sweet tooth by eating something sweet every day. And we can develop a taste, an appetite for God's Word by partaking of that Word every single day. We do that through Bible study. And we thank you for joining us today for this period of Bible study. We're very fortunate that God has provided through His providence the means of radio by which we can take the gospel. And it is certainly our privilege to preach to you from God's Word. If you would, take your Bible and begin to study along with us. Our text is in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Here we have what I have called Paul's recipe for righteousness. A recipe is a list of ingredients and a set of instructions. And when you take all of the ingredients included on that list and you put them together following the instructions given, you come out with the finished product. Well, here we have, in verses 9 through 11, a recipe that brings about righteousness. Read with me our text. Paul says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." We want to take the elements that are listed here, the ingredients, and put all of these things in our life. Now, last week we studied those ingredients in detail. We looked at the fact that prayer is mentioned here. In this case, it's prayer that's provided by Paul on behalf of the Philippians. But if we're going to be righteous people today, we need to take advantage of that avenue of prayer that Christians have with the Father above. Also, we see that love was necessary, and Paul was praying that their love would abound still more and more. They had demonstrated their love in the past, but they needed to do much more, and Paul was praying that they would. We also see that he hopes that they would have a knowledge. This is a knowledge of God's Word, and it's very important to have a knowledge of the right things. There are many people in the world today who have great knowledge, but not about Bible matters. All of us, no matter what our job, this is not just something that's for preachers. We should all have a great knowledge of God's Word. It's very difficult to develop that, though, because it requires a lifetime of study. No matter how much time you have spent studying God's Word, you do not know everything there is to know. You can spend your entire life. I heard one great Bible scholar one time say that every time he turned to the Bible, he felt like he was a man turning to the ocean, trying to dip it dry with a teaspoon. Such is the case when we turn to the Bible. The Bible has so much for us, and we must increase our knowledge of it. But the fourth ingredient then was discernment, the ability to judge. We're told in Philippians 1 and verse 10 that they needed to have this in order to approve the things that are excellent. And we certainly must be able to do that as well. This week I'd like to concentrate on the instructions that are given. When a recipe is given teaching us how to prepare a particular food dish, we are told how the ingredients are to be combined. Sometimes they're whipped, sometimes they're folded. Sometimes you cook it for a short period of time on high heat, sometimes you cook for a long time on low heat. We have instructions that are given to us here as to how these spiritual ingredients should be combined in our lives. The first instruction we see is in the fact that we should be sincere. We must be sincere people in God's eyes. Now, the Greek word that's translated sincere here literally means that when you hold something up to the sunlight, it is found genuine. It means that we need to be pure people. We must have these elements in our lives, but they must exist there in an atmosphere of purity. It is only by using pure products that we can actually produce a pure dish. We must have purity of ingredients and purity in combining them. In 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 12, Paul says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." He wanted us to be found blameless, to be found pure. In order to do that, we must be sincere. We must be found pure when held up to the sunlight for inspection. Now, in a spiritual sense, this is also true for us. For in the last day, we will be held up to the sunlight. This time we're spelling sunlight, S-O-N. It's the light of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. For we're told that all of us will stand before His judgment seat, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We're told it is His Word that is going to stand against us in judgment, John 12 and verse 48. So we will be examined to see whether or not we're pure in the sunlight. We must live our lives then according to His Word, that we might be found sincere in that day. Now right here in Philippians 1, we have a very good example of impurity. We find in verses 12 and 13 that Paul says, "Brethren, I want you to know certain things which have happened to me that have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Now, Paul was in prison, a Roman prison, but it became obvious based on the things that he did and the way that God took care of him that he was actually the slave and the servant and the prisoner, not of Rome, but rather he was the prisoner of Christ. He also tells us in verse 14 that there are brethren who had gone out and preached the word of God because they had become more confident by his chains. They had seen that God did take care of him. They had seen the way this great apostle bore up under the pressures of being imprisoned. And because of that, they were much more bold in their preaching. But verses 15 through 17 tell us that there were some who preached the word of Christ. They were teaching the truth, but they preached from envy and strife. Some wanted to do good. Others wanted to preach the word of God so that Paul's imprisonment would be more difficult for him. This exhibits a tremendous amount of hatred toward Paul. But even in light of that, Paul said he was glad that the truth was being taught. Even if these people didn't teach it out of sincerity, even if they didn't teach it out of a pure motive, he was glad the truth was taught. So here we see an example of insincerity, people doing a good thing, preaching the gospel, but doing so out of a bad motive. We then see the second instruction is that we must have these ingredients in our lives without offense. Now, this literally means not leading someone else to sin. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 21, we're told that God tore Israel from the house of David and made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. Jeroboam led the children of Israel into sin. When we're told here that we should be without offense, it means that our words and our actions should not lead anyone else to sin. If someone watches us and then they follow us and that leads them into sin, then we have caused offense. And that's what this biblical word means. We must have these ingredients in our lives, the ingredients of prayer and love, knowledge and discernment. But we must have them with purity and with such actions that lead no one into sin. In Romans chapter 14, the question was whether or not you could eat that which had been offered to an idol. Paul tells the Romans, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is neither good to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak." We cannot do things, even things that might be right in and of themselves, if we know it's going to lead our brother into sin. We must be without offense. We should not lead people into sin. Finally, we're given the instruction that all of these things are to exist, with purity and without offense, till the day of Christ. This tells us how long. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we're told not to fear those things they were told not to fear those things that they were about to suffer. Specifically, the devil was going to throw some of them into prison, and they were going to be tested. But he says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." We must remain faithful not only until we die, but even to the point of death. If someone were to threaten us, we should not bow to them, but rather we should remain faithful to Christ, even if it means losing our life. Paul, as he was traveling to the city of Jerusalem, was warned. There was a prophet who came to him and by the power of the Holy Spirit told him that when he came to Jerusalem, he would be bound and delivered to the Gentiles. This is exactly what happened to Paul, and he entered into that imprisonment. But we find that Paul tells us in Acts 21 and verse 13 that he was ready not only to be bound for the cause of the Lord, but he was ready also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. We have to be faithful all the way. Partial faithfulness will not reap us a reward in heaven. Now, after Paul had been imprisoned, and imprisoned for many years, his faith had not begun to waver. He was not worn down. We find even then, at the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, that he said, "I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." Paul was ready to die for the Lord, and even after years of imprisonment, he was still ready to sacrifice for the Lord. He was still ready to do what was right. If we take these ingredients that have been listed for us, and we combine them the way that we're told to, what will it produce in us? The answer is in our text, that we may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The knowledge of God's Word leads us toward that righteousness. And when we do, we will produce the fruit that the Master will be pleased with.